The West Live. The West Live. With Ben O'Shea for Jenna Clark. Brought to you by Neds. Take it to the Neds level. Gamble responsibly. 1-800-858-858.
As we've seen in these COVID times, a lot can change in 24 hours. The same is often said about politics. Joining me now is opposition leader Zach Kirkup. Zach, thanks for your time.
Hello, Ben. Thanks very much for having me on again.
Now, a week into the top job and your shadow treasurer quits, did that take you by surprise?
Oh, yeah, I did. I mean, I was, as I've said publicly, very disappointed that Dean's made that decision. But of course, I understand the reasons why he's done that. He and his family took the time over the weekend to think about their future, and I respect the decision they've made. Obviously, he'll be a very big loss for the team, but I totally understand the reasons by which he's decided to look towards a new chapter, and I'm excited to see what that is for him.
And how did he tell you? Did he give you a call? Did you meet? Did he send you a text message?
No, we caught up on the phone. In the evening before it was announced, and it came out in the West, and just sort of walked through it and understood the decisions he'd made, and we had a really good chat, and very much one that was focused on the future for him and his family, and it was really good. It was very, very pleasant, and I've got to say, one that was very future focused, and yeah, it was. It's going to be a challenge, of course, not having Dean as part of the team after the next 100 days, but it's a decision I totally respect that he's made together with his family.
Well, you've got 100 days until the state election, and you've just lost one of your most experienced people in Dean Nalder. How do you possibly replace that?
Well, I mean, for us, it's a process now of making sure that the pre-selection will be held for the seat of Bateman sometime in the early new year of 2021, and about trying to get people who are very experienced and part of that team that drives renewal in our party. So it's one that I'm looking very forward to, the process, and seeing who's going to put up their hand to try and become the next Liberal candidate for the district of Bateman. I mean, ultimately, we have very, very experienced people in our party already, many people from very diverse backgrounds as members of parliament and as candidates as well. So this is not just about any individual. The politics is always about the team that you take to an election. And of course, we are really no different to the Labor Party either. They've got their treasurers resigned, and Ben White, a very good man, he's going. There's two other ministers as well who've said they're not going to stand again. So the cabinet of the McGowan cabinet is still three ministers down, so it's going to be a little bit of a challenge for them as well, I suspect.
Well, let's talk about the process in Bateman, because on the way out the door, Nalder had a swipe at Peter Collier and Nick Gorin, and just as Nahan and John McGrath did as well. So you've got these sitting members saying that there's a fundamental problem with the way the party functions, and that, you know, this candidate in Bateman is probably just going to be handpicked by these power brokers. How do you respond to that?
Well, I mean, the strength of the Liberal Party is that our pre-selection process happens with local pre-selectors selecting local candidates. And that's always been, I think, the overwhelming difference between us and the Labor Party about how they choose their candidates, which is often done with backroom union deals. So that's not something that will happen here with the Liberal Party. And so it'll be a process by which I was selected for the District of Dawesville, and every other one of our candidates has been selected. And that is a local pre-selection with, you know, those local Mount Party members who are mums and dads and family. You know, they're people who've been involved in the party and want to contribute more, and they become pre-selected for the Liberal Party, and they decide who becomes their next representative for the area they live in. And so whilst I appreciate that there is those comments that have been made, I'll leave them to those individuals for their observations. It's not something that I share at all, and indeed with the District of Bateman, as I said, it will be something that will be dealt with at a very local level.
And then if in hindsight, when the candidate appears, if it's becomes obvious that they do have significant links to these party power brokers, What does that say about your position as a leader? Because you said right here that, you know, it's going to be this fair process. It's not going to be, you know, sort of people parachuted in by the power brokers. How are you going to guarantee that?
Well, the process guarantees that every part of the pre-selection stage is obviously very fair, very transparent, and very much accountable. The nature of getting, you know, in my case, it was something like 30 or 40 people in a room to decide whether or not they wanted to get me as their next Liberal candidate for Dawesville is incredibly fair and incredibly accountable as part of a very transparent process of engaging with local Liberal Party members. So that's exactly the same way it'll happen in Bateman.
Mm. And so Christy McSweeney from Sky News has thrown her hat in the ring and even talked up her potential as a future frontbencher. What can you tell me about some of the other potential candidates?
Well, Ms. McSweeney is the only person I'm aware of who's publicly declared her hand. I'm not sure about how many other people are going to be doing the same in terms of putting their hand up so publicly like that. I mean, ultimately, I'm very excited about the prospect of bringing more and more people into our team who want to stand up and have a crack at a very important district in Bateman. It's really exciting. This is, as Dean himself said, a really exciting opportunity to bring some renewal into the party, and I'm very much looking forward to that. So I encourage anyone who's listening to the Ben O'Shea O Show, or the West Live podcast, that if they're interested in becoming more actively involved in the parliamentary side of the Liberal Party, if they're keen to be part of that, very much encourage them to stand and get involved in the pre-selection process. It's very exciting to see who we might get as calibre of some very good candidates.
We had ex-Perth Wildcats boss Nick Marvin had an unsuccessful run at pre-selection in Riverton. He could be somebody that the party might consider for Bateman. What would you think about his potential candidacy?
I've never met Mr. Marvin, but again, I mean, you know, we're talking about someone who's the former CEO of the Perth Wildcats, for example. That's an outstanding captain of industry, as an example of someone who's interested. So the more people like that who want to participate in our political discourse and be part of the parliamentary Liberal Party here in Western Australia is an exciting prospect for me. And so, and an exciting prospect for the party more broadly. We have a really great opportunity here to find someone for a fantastic and an important district. And if it's someone like Mr. Marvin or Ms. McSweeney or anyone else who's very experienced and has contributed already so much in their life and wants to step into the field of politics, I really welcome that opportunity to see the sort of exciting field of candidates that we're going to see stand up for pre-selection.
Now, it's no secret that the Liberal Party in WA has in the past struggled to amass a war chest of money to fight state elections, and Nolde had very close ties to the top end of town. Now that he's gone, how are you going to fill those campaign coffers?
Well, I think the best way to do that is by making sure we have local candidates out there in the field engaging with people and talking about the issues that matter most to them. And often what happens in that case is that you've come across people who become your supporters. I was out just yesterday, for example, with Scott Edwards in Kingsley, a fantastic candidate we've got there who was door-knocking an individual in his district, and a month ago, and yesterday we went there for a small business visit, and he's found in Michael there in his small goods shop an outstanding contributor, somebody who wants to be part of the process going forward. So, you know, I think what you do is we look at the outstanding local candidates we have and the work they're doing out there in the field, and you know, it's more than financial support as well for campaigns, Ben. It's about making sure we have outstanding volunteers who are part of the process. It's about making sure we have people ready to man polling booths and be part of that as well. It's all part of a campaign process that I think starts with the success of our local campaigns. And that's what we'll be doing. We'll be making sure that each one of our candidates are out there engaging with as many people in Western Australia as possible. And I hope people see that the experience and the talented candidates we have, they want to help support, get over the line and become members of Parliament.
And it's also about having a point of difference when it comes to the sort of policies that you'll be taking to the election. And I believe that you've got an announcement to make today, this morning, in fact. Have you got anything that you can tell us about that?
Oh, sure. I don't want to reveal just too much yet, Ben, but it'll be, for us, a very important economic policy that will be central to everything that we do going forward with our economic reforms here in Western Australia. So we'll be announcing, I think it is just a little later this morning, effectively the very basis by which we approach all of our economic policies going forward, all of our infrastructure projects going forward. And it's something that I would love to be able to reveal today with you, but we'll be waiting just a couple more hours before we talk a bit more about that.
And how receptive do you think the WA people will be to these economic policies when we've seen the ABS reveal yesterday, you know, the WA economy grew 4.9% last quarter, is leading the nation really in what has been a pretty terrible year economically for the rest of the country. We lost less jobs than any other state apart from the NT. Doesn't that suggest that McGowan's mob have done a pretty good job? And where does that leave space for you to slip your message in?
Well, just on yesterday's announcement of the national accounts, what we actually saw is that in the September quarter, West Australia had the weakest growth of any state in the country, except for Victoria, which was in lockdown. So we unfortunately have a situation where WA is not actually leading the rest of the country. And to the September quarter, we'd only seen 4.9% growth when most other states were in 6% plus growth. That's a really big problem. It's a really concerning factor when we look at how we'll get out of this COVID-19 world and what it looks like for our future. And that's why I think people will be really excited about our economic policies going forward, because we have this critical point in time now, Ben, where WA is not doing as well as it could be. When we know that our state faces a very uncertain future and that people are crying out for a vision and a hope about what a future Western Australia looks like. And that's exactly what we'll be doing with our policies going forward. It's what we've been already doing out there in the last 8 days that I've been part of the leader of the Liberal team. What we've been doing going forward as well is making sure that our policies speak to that long-term vision to help make sure we can deliver what we like to call a safer and smarter today and a better and brighter tomorrow.
Well, you've got 100 days to convince us. Liberal leader Zach Kirkup, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks very much for having me, Ben. It's great to be with you again.